Welcome to the EY India Insights podcast. I'm your host, Sudhir Ramakrishnan. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Navigating Alliances series. In this episode, we explored thriving EY and ServiceNow Alliance, focusing on India's business landscape, ServiceNow's GenAI journey, and the future of the EY ServiceNow Alliance. Joining us today are Kundvi Ramachandran, EY Partner and India Leader of the ServiceNow Alliance, and Kamolika Gupta Perez, Group Vice President and Managing Director for the India South Asia region at ServiceNow. Kundvi, Kamolika, it's a pleasure to have you both with us today.
Hi, Sudhir. Thank you. Hi, Kamolika.
Hi.
Great to have you today.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
Thank you for that. So let's dive right in. On the back of our highly successful three-city ServiceNow Summit in Delhi, Mumbai, and Bangalore, what's the plan to harness the momentum that's been generated? Kamolika, perhaps you can launch into this.
No, so I think that's a great question to start with, Sudhir. So, you know, I'll try and capture a little bit of, you know, the excitement that we actually saw in the summits this year and the actions that are coming out of it. And it'll be great to hear, you know, Kundavi's, you know, perspective as well. So I think this year, what was evident was, of course, the excitement. You know, we had, you know, absolutely packed audiences across all the three cities where we did the summits. We had a lot of deeper conversations with the participants. So customers who already came with either some knowledge of ServiceNow or some idea of their transformation journey that they wanted to discuss with us. And I think in the sessions, they actually heard insights from other customers, interacted with a large, you know, cross-section of partners, and had a lot of engaged conversations with experts. And eventually with a sort of a decision to come back to the conversation or take it up further in the future, right? So I think the overall impression from the summits was one of great energy, great curiosity, and great momentum, right? So I think if I have to really summarize, you know, what the summits achieved, right? Number one, I think it showcased the joint success that we have achieved in India and how do we leverage that in further industries and other solution areas. I think it generated great mindshare with customers and, you know, prospects on how we can actually jointly impact their business objective in a really significant way, right? And also, of course, just furthering the connects between the two organizations and, you know, with the ecosystem at large, right? So I think the plan is definitely to further the conversations that we started at Summit and really double down on the growth areas and the real large opportunities that we see and really take that vision forward together.
Thank you for that, Kamolika. Kundvi, your view?
I would absolutely echo what Kamolika said. I think this is the second year that we are running the summit together. We are participating in the summit in India. And there is a marked difference between the way that, you know, the participants came to the summit last year versus this year. There's a lot of, as Kamolika said, inherent knowledge around ServiceNow. There was thinking around, you know, what people wanted to do, and, you know, they already either had the platform or, you know, they wanted to explore or they had very clear ideas around transformation. So we saw a lot of excitement around that. From an EY point of view, I think I would split this into two parts. One is there was a lot of strategic initiatives that, you know, that we discussed and agreed on the sidelines of the summit, which was great. We had a lot of significant leadership connects, you know, around the summit. So that really helped. And that momentum is still on. So a lot of things that we agreed on, which are all work in progress. So that was great. The second part also is we saw a lot of customer interest this time around, specifically, you know, both around the integrated risk management space and the what we call as technology for business. And we call it global business solution. So there was a lot of interest around both of those spaces. And in fact, you know, we continue to get, you know, leads and conversations around that even post the summit. So that's been quite exciting this year.
Thank you very much for that. Now, I just wanted to build on something. As our listeners may be aware, the EY and the ServiceNow Alliance is thriving globally. It's an award-winning partnership. But what I'd like to understand is how do we view the partnership with the lens of the India business? Kundvi, your thoughts, please.
It's thriving very well in India as well, Sudhir, honestly. So we've been doubling the revenues every year or at best every, you know, 1.5 years in that sense. So fantastic CAGR. So last year to this year, we have done 90% plus growth. And year before that, we did the same thing as well. So growing exponentially, so as to speak, you know, what works best for us is EY is very sector focused. So we've got FS teams, financial services, technology, consumer and health sciences. We have got advanced manufacturing, so GPS. So very focused on sectors. So if you look at from that lens perspective, right, and that's what works well from a ServiceNow point of view as well. So, you know, ServiceNow from this year as well, Kamolika, I believe, you know, you also organized yourself by sectors. There's a lot more sector focus. And, you know, we've been able to do that very well. The other thing is, for last, at least I would say 24 months or so, we've invested more than a crore, either in terms of certifications for our folks together, in terms of, you know, POCs that we have built together, either for product innovations or for clients and innovations themselves, all the accelerators that we have built. So we see a very, very great partnership. We're extremely well connected on the ground, a very, very structured account focus. We have structured strategies, you know, joint go-to-market programs that we run collectively, learning programs that we run collectively. So yeah, it's really an awesome and very thriving alliance, I would say.
Thank you for that, Krundi. Kamolika, I'm sure you also have a lot of points to add to this.
I mean, I was just listening to Kundri talking about it. And of course, you know, we all know that this is true and this is where the partnership is. But when you hear it really, you know, being spoken, you know, in the way that Kundri was delivering that, I think it just sounds like such an absolutely awesome place to be in. And I think everything that she said is true. You know, and I think the momentum that we are seeing, the demand from customers, the conversations that's happening, the growth of the business, this is all visible and real. And one of the things that I always think is, you know, the important measure of any partnership is in how many customer conversations are we showing up together. And I think, you know, it's very, very gratifying to note how many customer conversations we're actually participating in together, which are, you know, growing every day, which are really happening with some of the largest enterprises in that particular industry, right? So, you know, when the partnership started, I think we have a very strong foundation in BFSI, and that's where we've actually grown very, very strongly and where the momentum is still continuing. But I also see that happening in, you know, in conversations in manufacturing, pharma, GCCs, all these segments that we're actually going into with a view to start these customer conversations and expand the engagement. As Kundavi said, we have also organized ourselves along industry lines in ServiceNow India this year. So the idea is really to bring you know, EY's expertise, deep in-depth knowledge of the segment, our view of the technology and digital transformation, and really create a very, very strong, you know, platform for any customer who wants to take that journey with us. So absolutely, I think full speed ahead for the partnership.
Thank you for that, Kamolika. Now, I wanted to build on something that was hinted at. Obviously, when it comes to all the conversations that we're having, GenAI is inescapable at this moment. It is all-encompassing, and it is, you know, across sectors, across domains, across regions. What we wanted to understand is, how is ServiceNow helping your customers in this GenAI journey?
That's a great question, Sudhir. I think definitely, you know, the topic of the moment is GenAI, and I think you'll find it in every conversation that's happening around technology. And I think I believe that GenAI as a technology has immense power to transform, you know, the way we work, to unlock new efficiencies, drive productivity, create new experiences, both for the employee and for the customer. And in a certain sense, a lot of scenarios that were not even imagined or within reach of technology before, right? So I think as a technology, it has immense power, right? I think where most companies or where most customers are is really in trying to understand how they can use this technology, right? Because of course, as businesses, the pressure to respond faster, to, you know, craft better experiences, to do all of this at, you know, at greater efficiencies, these pressures on businesses are constantly going up, right? So while they're dealing with all of the legacy, you know, technology that they have invested in over the years, but the need to actually make all of this work in a way that's faster, that's more productive, that's more intelligent is forever increasing on the businesses, right? And on the leaders who take these decisions. And that's really where ServiceNow's approach to GenAI comes in. You know, our approach is really to say that, you know, it's all about building in GenAI into the existing workflows, right? Into the existing capabilities that we have, into the manner in which you run your business, right? So you're not doing a very detailed exercise on trying to figure out where, how, you know, how will you harness this technology? It's built in to the existing workflows. All you have to do is really upgrade the kind of technology that you're using to be able to really get the benefit of ServiceNow's, you know, absolutely cutting-edge GenAI capabilities. Now, our solution, Now Assist, which is really about our, you know, intelligent assistant that really helps any agent or operator in delivering these experiences is really about making sure that even a natural conversational chat can really trigger the kind of intelligent workflows that takes care of a customer or an employee conversation end to end, right? So definitely more to come on this front, but I'm really excited about the kind of interest that this has really generated amongst our customers and our partners. And I'm sure this is going to be the next big frontier of growth for our partnership.
Thank you for that. Now, touching on something which is already being mentioned very frequently, how can an enterprise server market customer make the most of the EY and the ServiceNow alliance currently? Kamalika?
So I think, you know, I think we alluded upon that briefly, you know, earlier as well. So, you know, why is the ServiceNow and the EY partnership very, very compelling to any customer in the enterprise segment looking to take a transformation journey, right? So number one is, we talked about it earlier, is the sectoral focus. So the idea is that when we are talking to a customer, we're talking to them about their industry, the reality in which they are operating in, and then how do we actually come to them with a solution that speaks to that reality, right? So it's really about tailoring our conversation to the industry. Number two, it's really about bringing the power of the platform, but making sure that we are developing together an intelligent roadmap that the customer can follow on that platform. Now, as you know, ServiceNow has capabilities in a vast number of workflows, right? But at the end of the day, for the customer, it's that journey that they will take, what they will do first, what they will do next, and how that will go step by step in creating transformation in the organization. I think that's really important, and that's really where the whole power of the partnership comes in. And I think at the end of the day, you know, any transformation has to deliver the business benefits, right? And I think that's where, you know, it's not really a technology implementation. These are business transformation conversations. And who better than EY and ServiceNow to actually have that conversation together? So that's why I think the partnership is such a rich, you know, has such a rich proposition for any customer who's trying to transform.
Fantastic words indeed, Kamalika. Kundri, would you like to build on what was just mentioned?
Absolutely. I think Kamalika has hit the nail on the head. And if I may add, right, you know, if I think we should step back and say what really is the power of the platform. Now, imagine, you know, there's someone who's, you know, delivering a very complex work within an organization. What happens usually is, you know, they have to navigate between multiple tools. For example, for their access requests, their IT issues, they have to go log in somewhere. Then, you know, if they have to do their own processing and transactions, they log into a second system. Now, for your controls or any of your assessments and, you know, code of conduct submissions, as an example, right, classic example, that's a third system. HR is a fourth system, right? From a employee perspective, that's very tiring. You know, as a user, a persona, it's very tiring, right? And we all experience that in our own capacities. Now, imagine, you know, all of this can be done through a single platform. So ServiceNow helps you drive your technology engagement. It helps you drive your HR engagement. It helps you do your core business operations. For example, let's say you're an employee in a, you know, in a captive and or an, in a business, in a large manufacturing organization. And, you know, you are managing all of the supply chain related activities, as an example. So you can manage all of that using ServiceNow. It provides a great digital platform, connects with your, you know, underpinning systems, but it becomes one engagement and one system of engagement. Add to this, right? And that itself is pretty cool. Now, if you add to this, all of the capabilities that the platform brings, Kamalika spoke about GenAI, you know, automation capabilities, virtual agents, portals, and, you know, you can do all of this on your mobile. That's exponentially powerful and super cool. Now, the key word of caution, you know, again, alluding back to what Kamalika said is that, you know, the platform is very great. Now, the success of its implementation also depends upon how well you manage your underpin processes and how well do you couple that with business transformation. And that's where EY scores, because that's our inherent strength. So if you look at all of our implementations, Sudhir, and very successful ones, you know, we never have done those implementations as a technology implementation. We've always done that with a transformative lens. And what I mean is, you know, each of those, we've got our, you know, business consulting, you know, domain experts, sector experts deeply embedded in as part of the program delivery itself. So if you look at some of the large software asset management implementations that we have done, you know, we partner with our software asset management team, you know, who do this for a living. Similarly, our cyber SecOps implementations, you would definitely see our cybersecurity experts, you know, sitting as part of the implementation team. Same for our IRM. So, you know, we do that with our tech risk teams. So, or our enterprise risk teams as an example. So we always ensure that, you know, we bring in the whole of business plus business consulting plus domain sector plus a technology knowledge which is required. And that's why, you know, the alliance has been quite successful and powerful and more so more valuable for the clients.
Thank you for that, Kundri. Now, if I may take a step in a slightly different direction, as I understand, EY has evolved beyond traditional solutions and we've emerged as a very strong player in the governance, risk and the compliance space, having many landmark wins and generating a lot of market engagement. Could you please elaborate on that?
Sure, that's an awesome question. You know, what we've really done that is we've coupled that market leading position with the power of our alliance. So we've together with ServiceNow and together with our sector teams and domain teams, risk teams, we have built something called as Unified Compliance Framework. So what that really does is we started with the BFSI sector and then we have expanded that into other sectors and solutions. So what we've really done is, you know, one, you have the platform which has all of its capabilities, but people also need to know what do they need to comply with, right? And controls have to be written in a language that, you know, people understand. For example, if you tell somebody review the policy, review is a very objective and a very subjective word. So, but if you were to tell them, these are three things, if you do, it constitutes a review, that makes it more easier for them. Similarly, people don't want surprises. So one, you know, when we started this and we piloted this with a very large Indian bank, and their task really was, if I do this, I should not get any surprises. There cannot be any other requirement beyond, you know, what is being stated over here. And that's how we, you know, embark to say, okay, we will build a very, very comprehensive library of all of the, you know, compliances and controls. As an example, at least around, we started with technology. So we said around technology, you know, everything needs to be done. And we built a very comprehensive framework and with all of these supplemental guidances for people to understand. Now, on top of that, now we have obviously been able to expand that to other sectors, other industries, etc. And that's been quite powerful. And we've seen a lot of interest around that. Similarly, on the GRC space, we are able to integrate with our fraud risk solutions. So let's say you have fraud monitoring systems, you take the exceptions from there. And then, you know, you're able to, you know, manage all of your remediations and, you know, remediations and tracking with using ServiceNow. But it also gives you one view in terms of, you know, all of your failures, be it around controls, be it around, you know, other applications that you're using for monitoring. So it brings in that entire power. Now, another interesting thing that we're doing with another large Indian bank is we're building the entire anti-money laundering related compliances using ServiceNow platform. So that's pretty cool. So you have all of your surveys, you have all of your questionnaires, you know, all of your scoring in terms of, you know, whatever you require from a, you know, AML compliance perspective, that gets tracked and, you know, that culminates with all of your remediation, etc. So pretty cool stuff that, you know, we've been able to build. And in fact, Sudhir, you know, this year's summit, we ran, you know, integrated risk management booths across all of the three cities. I must say at one point I was worried because there was literally a stampede in one of our booths. So, but we saw a lot of interest, you know, around this entire space. You know, I would say all our brochures went off like hotcakes and we continue to get a lot of interest. So quite excited about what we have built together.
Fantastic. I mean, these are the problems that we should have and more of those in the future. Now, just taking a bit of a sidebar, we just wanted to get a sense that as accomplished leaders in this global market where diversity, equity, and inclusion are being valued increasing, and rightly so, how do you look back at your journeys and roles in this ever-evolving landscape? Kundi, perhaps you can just start off.
It's evolved very significantly in the sense, you know, I think I started my career about a couple of decades ago in that sense. So, at that point of time, you were more about saying establishing yourself through the journeys. There was a lot of conversation around how everyone needs to support more women, et cetera, et cetera. The onus was more on men to, you know, ensure there was enough diversity, inclusion in the team, et cetera, right? Today, we have a very different responsibility from where we are. You know, a lot of people look up to us as, you know, role models because they've seen someone not only as someone, you know, who's running a practice, who's, you know, who's a partner in the firm, who's had a good career all the while around, but they also see us as human beings with multiple different roles and responsibilities. They see us as wives, they see us as mothers, they see us as daughters. And then they see, you know, how do we, they really look up to us in terms of, you know, how do we balance different roles. We also increasingly see, I mean, at least I see, you know, people, you know, walking up and then asking questions around, you know, Kunvi, you know, you've done this, you know, I'm about to get married as an example. And, you know, what do I do? Right? How do I manage? Where should my focus be? I'm really worried. Will this impact my career? You know, how do I balance all of that? So we see all of those questions very coming up. So the role responsibility has, you know, sort of changed in that sense. What worked well is, you know, at least for me, I've been with EY for 16 years. Really fantastic organization, I might say. Lot of, you know, conscious effort towards, you know, ensuring there is diversity, ensuring there is a lot of leaders that we get, a lot of women leaders that we get, you know, we continue to hire, we continue to groom and develop a lot of women who come into leadership roles. So when I started my career at EY, I could count probably one, two, you know, women partners. Today we are almost 100 plus women partners, and that's a fantastic achievement, right? So yeah, so a lot of you know, good work has gone on that side, a lot of significant investments in terms of, you know, promoting women. So it's very heartening to see, and it's very good to see. But yes, equally, you know, we also see that, you know, we need to take a lot more responsibility in terms of ensuring that, you know, we get more women leaders and we help more women, you know, become leaders.
That's fantastic, Kunvi. Kamalika, your take on this?
That was so well said, Kunvi. And I'm sure, you know, indeed, like we've always discussed before, that this is a subject very close to both our hearts. So I think a lot of what Kunvi said, you know, really resonated with me. And I think, you know, the way that I look at it is like Kunvi said, you know, the paradigm has changed, right? When we first entered the workforce, you know, women were few and far between. Very often we were the only women in the room or the only women at the table. And it was really about making sure that we were representing ourselves well, that, you know, we were, in a sense, we felt like we represented our gender, and that, you know, that was kind of the responsibility that we carried, right? I think that the scenario has changed vastly. Like right now, if you look at it, the kind of intake percentages at a graduate level is almost equal between men and women, right? Similarly, the people coming into the organization, you know, at an entry level are almost evenly balanced between men and women, right? Where the difference starts to happen is through middle management and top management, the percentage of women keep dropping, right? And I think it's really, really important for organizations to really double down into why that is happening. And sometimes the answers are actually very different from what you expect, right? There's, of course, career milestones, and there's, of course, you know, life milestones that happen, and a lot of women drop out because of that. But there are also other reasons. And I think sometimes, you know, an organization to understand what is the reason why women are dropping out at a certain stage becomes vitally important. Sometimes it's the absence of role models, right? Because they don't see women in a senior level. They assume that nobody's made it there. That means it's not going to happen, right? And that's like a demoralizing force for the women in the organization. Sometimes it's the lack of very real physical facilities. You know, it could be something as simple as a creche or something that gives people, you know, a time off to take care of, you know, elderly parents, for example, right? And that kind of facilities that really make it easier, or sometimes remote work, as we have seen in the pandemic, that really make it easier for women to participate in the workforce, right? And I think for organizations to really double down and understand why women are dropping out is really, really important, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a loss of talent. It's a loss of all this potential, all of this, you know, this enthusiasm, this drive that's coming into the organization that forms 50% of our trained workforce, that's really not finding its true potential. And I think as organization, it's really incumbent upon all of us to create that environment of, you know, a diverse workforce, but same at the same point of time, equitable and in an inclusive environment where this workforce can thrive, right? I think, you know, as we grow and as organizations, great talent is an imperative for all of us. So to make sure that all kinds of talent can thrive is really, really important. And I think, you know, therefore, you know, my advice has always been that, you know, there is always a lot of talk about mentoring women and supporting women and promoting women. I think, you know, the woman of today, she doesn't really need to be promoted and supported in that sense. She's very clear about what she wants. She's very, very capable. She's very, very clear about how she's going to, you know, sort of grow her career. I think we need to give her that support to say that she can chase her dreams in an organization that's going to give her all that support, that's going to create an environment where she can flourish, and that's going to really, really make her work with role models whom she can aspire to be, right? So I think if we can do that as an organization, we will absolutely see, you know, women's equity and women's participation an absolute reality in the organizations of the future.
Well said, Kamolika, if I may add, right? I think there's one thing that, you know, organizations need to push and do very differently, I think, at least in India, I would say, is, you know, I always say this to my team members, is if you expect your women colleague to be available and supporting, you know, and giving their 100% in their career, remember that, you know, the same thing would be expected from your spouse's organization as well. So, you know, and the whole question is, you know, how are you supporting at home for your spouse to manage their career better? And how are you participating, you know, across all of their responsibilities? Because that's what, you know, will enable. So charity begins at home. So, you know, we consciously encourage all of the men in our team. And I think, you know, most of them do it today. You know, the roles have changed. The culture has changed. It's significantly evolved. The society is significantly involved. We see men increasingly participating, but I think that's important, right? We still live in a country where paternity leave is, you know, a week max, 15 days. And then, you know, you have a 6-month maternity leave. Imagine if you were to change that paradigm shift a little bit and then say everybody gets equal responsibility and therefore, you know, anybody could be a primary caregiver, etc. And that's the day that, you know, there will be a true shift in terms of, you know, how society views everyone, how each person is able to, you know, take care of and assimilate for themselves what's you know, appropriate for them without falling into any kind of stereotypes.
Absolutely, well said, Kundavi.
I mean, Kamalika, Kundi, these are just brilliant insights, and I'm sure they will strike a chord with many of our listeners, and hopefully that sparks off a change as well. Now, finally, to, you know, conclude this conversation, perhaps if I may ask, what lies in the future of the EY and the ServiceNow Alliance here in India? Kundi, all yours.
I would say it's been awesome so far. And then, you know, we're actually quite excited. So me and Kamolika, you know, keep speaking and we're quite excited about what we see in store. You know, I would just say picture abhi bhi baki hai.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. Picture definitely baki hai. And I think we're all excited about what that picture shows, because I think this is a partnership that's close to both our hearts. I think, you know, we have big ambitions. We want to work for the top leaders in every vertical and make sure that, you know, we are really, you know, creating impact in these businesses, right? I think anything less than that means that we haven't made most of the opportunity ahead of us, right? I think, you know, as organizations, we have a very similar set of DNA, you know, values, principles, and really, really, you know, the aspiration to make it big. So really want to make sure that we bring that power of the partnership together and deliver the maximum amount of value for our customers. So yeah, the sky is the limit.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Kamalika. Thank you very much, Kundi, for sharing all your expertise and all your insights today. It's been an absolute privilege to having both of you on the show.
Thank you for having us, Sudhir. That was a great conversation.
Absolutely. You know, thank you so much, Sudhir, for, you know, hosting this. It was lovely. I mean, it's always a pleasure to talk to Kamalika, and today has been just lovely.
Absolutely. Likewise.
Thank you very much. It's just been a pleasure that me and the team, we've been able to enable this conversation. And to our listeners, thank you very much for joining for another episode of the India Insights Navigating Alliances series. Stay tuned for more episodes as we delve deeper into the EY partner ecosystem. If you have any specific topics you'd like us to cover, please reach out to us on our website or on email at markets.eyindia@in.ey.com. Until next time, thank you for tuning in and goodbye.